Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband.
Father, I said till death do us part, I want to mean it with all of my heart. help me to love you more than I love her. Then I know I can love her more than anyone else. And bring her in your presence today. Make her what you want her to be.
Lesson 173, Imitating God. In our last lesson, we began the practical section of Ephesians, where we learn how to walk worthy of our calling in Christ. Chapter 4 focuses on our Christian character and maturity, and in Chapter 5, we shall learn more about the worthy walk, particularly about imitating God, being filled with the Spirit, and showing Christ in our marriages. Chapter 5 continues the practical instruction to Christians found in Chapter 4, calling on God's dear children to be imitators of God. He explains that this means to walk in love, in the same way that our Lord Jesus loved us and gave Himself for us, which was by the sacrifice of Himself. This sacrifice was something pleasing to the Lord and described as a sweet-smelling aroma. Unselfish sacrifice for the benefit of others will imitate God's heart of love and please Him. To walk as an imitator of God requires that we also walk in holiness. God hates all sin. This means that sins such as fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness should not be known at all among believers. This kind of behavior does not match who we are in Christ. Filthiness, foolish talking, or coarse jesting must go, being replaced by expressions of gratitude. Paul says people who practice these sins do not belong to God's kingdom. No one should be deceived into thinking God will ever approve of such behavior, for it is this very behavior that will bring God's wrath upon the world. When we come to faith in Christ and are born of God, we are expected to no longer join in the sins of this world. Once we did not understand the consequences of our sin, but now in Christ we have spiritual insight into God's hatred and judgment against sin. Walking as a child of light means to walk in full agreement by faith with God's word as true, knowing sinners will be judged for their wickedness. Our desire as Christians should be for all goodness, righteousness, and truth as we discover what is acceptable to the Lord. Christians are not only to stay away from sinful conduct, but even avoid any association with such behavior. Christians do not want to give any appearance of agreeing with sin, but rather should expose sin as wickedness. Even the mention of some sin done in secret can be shameful. This should teach us that to walk in holiness requires that we guard ourselves from speaking about things that are disgusting, revulsive, and wicked. Some things are better left unspoken, for they do not edify. Walking in light means to be spiritually awake to the truths of God's word and live accordingly. The effect of walking as a child of light is that the light penetrates the darkness, exposing the sinful conduct that is trying to hide there. This provides greater opportunity for the Holy Spirit to bring about conviction and repentance for those whose sin is exposed. There is a proper way for Christians to walk in wisdom and using our time for doing good in an evil world. We are to know God's will, not following the drunkenness of this world, but rather being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit does not mean getting more of the Holy Spirit, but rather allowing Him to have full control of our lives, attitudes, and actions. This will produce a spiritual mind that loves sharing God's word, singing with joy to the Lord, giving thanks to God. Being filled with the Holy Spirit will also involve submission to one another. This reflects back to the beginning of chapter 4, where we were told to walk in all lowliness. Without lowliness, there can be no submission or unity. The Holy Spirit's work in our lives will promote spiritual knowledge, joy, gratitude, and unity through humility. The next great subject of this chapter is that of Christian marriage and the respective responsibilities of the wife and husband. Paul begins with instructions for the wife and says she should submit to her husband as to the Lord. Some women may find it difficult to submit to their husbands when the husband is acting roughly toward them or rules their home with force rather than with love and kindness. But the wife is to fulfill her responsibility not because her husband is good and kind. She looks to her husband as Christians look to the Lord as their guide and provider. It is certainly challenging, but when a godly woman submits to her husband's authority, God will be glorified. Her submission to him may change the man's heart so that he will love her more and appreciate her more. The husband's role is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. When we consider the love of the Lord Jesus for the church, we see that the husband's calling is much higher than that of his wife, for he must be willing to sacrifice himself for her. His role is one of love, giving, providing, and sacrifice, and hers is to respect and submit. If each in the marriage follow their respective roles in Christ, then we can be sure that the marriage will be joyful for both of them and set forth a beautiful picture of Christ's love for his people. God uses marriage for this purpose, and so every Christian marriage should be striving to meet these very high goals in their marriage. Jesus' plan for the church is to purify her, that she may be presented glorious and without blemish. Husbands ought to love their wives as their own flesh, as this is for their own good. Hating and mistreating your marriage partner is the same as hating yourself. Just as the Lord intends only good for those who belong to him, the husband should desire only good for his wife, for she is part of him, and they are joined as one flesh. And herein lies a great mystery, that Christ is joined to the church in the same manner as a husband is joined to his wife, making them one flesh. Christ is the head and we are the body, eternally bound together as one flesh. Thus husbands are to love their wives and wives respect their husbands. In this chapter, we learn to imitate God, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and reflect Christ's love through our marriages. This shows us how our worthy walk is intimately connected with our triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Our union to God begins with a relationship to Christ through faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. He is the greatest lover of all, and we ought to love him also. Trust in him today to save your soul and be joined to him forever. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Now for today's Bible question. In today's lesson, we learned that walking worthy of Christ means to imitate God, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and reflect the love and obedience of Christ in our marriage relationships. Someone might ask the question, how can I be filled by the Holy Spirit? There has been much confusion among Christians about the filling of the Holy Spirit. Some are teaching that a Christian should pray for the second blessing, an anointing of the Holy Spirit or baptism of the Spirit. They believe that when this happens, that a believer may receive special spiritual gifts, like speaking in tongues. This is an unfortunate understanding and very widespread in churches today. The baptism of the Holy Spirit takes place only once, at the time when a Christian trusts in Jesus as his Savior. At that moment, the believer is immersed into the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit comes to abide within the believer. We do not feel the presence of the Holy Spirit living within us in the same way that we feel a stomach ache because we ate some bad food. The Holy Spirit's presence is known by the way He leads us and causes us to behave. As we fill up on God's Word, the Holy Spirit fills up our heart with the glories of Christ, and that brings a generous, joyful, and thankful spirit. It is also a mark of the Holy Spirit's presence when humility is exhibited in the life of the believer and a love for God's people. Being filled with the Spirit, then, has to do with an attitude and conduct that are fully under His guidance and influence. The comparison given to us in this chapter is that of being drunk with wine. When a person drinks wine, it affects their walk, their speech, their mood, and their conduct, and all in a negative way. The Spirit does exactly the opposite. Whereas a drunk person's speech is slurred, the person controlled by the Holy Spirit has a clear voice and godly speech. A drunk person will stumble when trying to walk, but the Spirit-filled believer walks correctly before the Lord. A drunk man may be in a violent mood or in a cheerful mood, but this is not his normal character. When filled with the Holy Spirit, the person's spirit is affected in the most positive way to be humble, joyful, grateful, genuine, and sincere. Also, a drunkard will often behave poorly, making a fool of himself or hurting and embarrassing others. Those filled with the Spirit act in the most godly and dignified way that causes all to see the work of God in their lives. Now that we have considered the nature of being filled with the Holy Spirit, we can answer our question about how to be filled. This does not happen automatically or by some earnest pleading with God in prayer. There is not some magical formula. It is not reserved for only the spiritually mature. Potentially, all believers can be filled with the Holy Spirit. To have the Spirit engulf my whole life and being and control my thinking, I must immerse myself in God's Word. My mind and heart must be consumed with knowing God and drawing near to Him without distractions. This kind of dedication is often seen in professional athletes who are entirely consumed with being the best at their sport. Their every waking breath is dedicated to one goal, and that is to perfect their skills, study their discipline, noting how the best perform and why they succeed. The Christian who wants to be filled with the Spirit must be consumed by God's love, driven with singular devotion to hearing and obeying God's voice. This motivation is strengthened by spending time in God's Word. The Bible should become part of our being until we can quote it freely, apply it to our varied situations, understand it, and enjoy it more and more. As we grow in our appreciation of God's Word, and it captures our daily interest and attention, we shall find that when we are talking, we talk about God's Word, helping others to see and understand it. We will feel its convicting power as we recognize things in our life that are not in agreement with God's holy standards. We will also fall in love with spiritual activities such as prayer, fellowship, worship, and hearing others teach the Word of God. When we seriously take hold of God's Word, we shall find that God's Word will take hold of us, and without even realizing it, we shall be filled with the Holy Spirit. There is a close relationship between letting God's Word dwell in us richly, Colossians 3, verse 16, and being filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5, 18. If we look at these two Bible texts, we will notice that being filled with the Spirit, or letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly, has almost identical results, producing a desire to communicate God's truth, singing unto the Lord, and a grateful spirit. Since the two results are virtually identical, it stands to reason that both of these things, being filled with the Holy Spirit and Christ's Word dwelling richly in us, are in essence the same. The Spirit is not the Word, but the two are so closely related that to be filled with one suggests being filled with the other also. We must remember this does not mean just a knowledge of the Bible. Someone might know the Bible well, but that does not mean they are a Christian or controlled by the Holy Spirit. When we consider what it means to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly, it suggests to us that this is not merely an intimate knowledge of what the Bible says, but an intimacy with the one of whom the Scriptures speak, namely our Lord Jesus Christ. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948. Or, if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. Jesus, if you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.